Blog Talk Radio.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the arch of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is make the leader in you come alive.
Welcome to the show. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, EJ Powell. Thanks for joining us. Friends, no matter if you are the cook or the server, the fisherman or the bus driver, no matter the role, you have a purpose and you're a leader in that purpose. And our goal here is simple, to inspire, to equip, to all to lead where they are. In other words, get us on cue with God's will, on cue with his call in our lives, which is our purpose, and get others on cue with that purpose. What is cue? It is how Nehemiah, model transformational leader, led a starved, desperate, isolated, broken people in building a wall and building a wall around ancient Jerusalem and building a way of life. He cued them up, C-U-E them up. And C stands for common ground. It's what we can agree on. It's the why we come together. U is a unified thought. It's what vision can we share, and it's the what we intend to do. And E is equally yoked. What does success look like? What's your role in it? What's the game plan? And how do we work together? It's really the how we get it done. So Q Leadership integrates biblical principles in a broad sense around leadership and using those qualities that Nehemiah possessed, that Lord anointed, to help you do two things. One, get people to trust you. And two, get people to follow you in discipleship. As we always do, we want to start our show with a prayer. So, Lord, you are powerful, mercy, living God. We thank you for this day. Lord, lead and bless this ministry and our audience and all that are serving you. We know that this Q Leadership is your brainchild, but our calling in your name. We honor you today by doing two things, giving you the glory and the honor, and two, serving this generation through Q. So, Lord, your word says in Romans 12:2, tells us, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Use this ministry, Lord, in order to complete that purpose, to align and equip and transform some new leaders in your glory. Help others hear the call, receive the call, and help us to raise some transformation leaders, some gatekeepers in your name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, what to expect to do in our time tonight? We like to have a dialogue. We like to have a conversation about leadership based in God's word. We equip leaders with a roadmap to tap into that faith, to tap into that discipleship in order to lead and influence others. We try to highlight everyday leaders who are making a difference, who can testify to God's goodness, and who are being transformation in their own sphere of influence. Our show is a lot of things, but it is not to criticize, but to shine a light in truth and love. It's not to tell you what to do, but provide a different lens in order to see things. It's not to focus on the mere symptoms of a problem, but get to the root of the problem. Treat the infection, in a sense, not the runny nose. So with today, as with any day, let us be open, and let's pray that we hear the Lord and not me, and we have the right questions, and no matter what the differences may be, and remember that this life is about love and surrender. And there will be some difference in opinions from time to time, but let us do what a true transformation leader says. Let's agree without being disagreeable and be thought partners and have a fruitful dialogue through this day. You know, as we know, we're in a series called Seasons. As Ecclesiastes 3:1 shares, to everything there is a season, and there is an appointed time for everything, and there's a time for every event under heaven. So during the good times, during all seasons, we should always be on cue with God's purpose. In other words, we're to operate either as a seed, not lying dormant, but awakening by the living word of Christ and looking for a place to be planted. Or number two, we are the sower, walking the straight path, plowing with faith and planting seeds of goodness and pouring that living water of Christ into the earth. Or three, being the soil itself, accepting the seed of the sower, absorbing that living water, adding the right nutrients to the at the right time, allowing the good works to take root, and standing firm on all seeds to grow and to be in order to bear fruit. I'm sure that's what we have in our hearts. We heard our pastor say to talk about during this season of harvest, but not to negate what any ministry says or anyone says, but to me, reaping the harvest is not about me or you. It's not about increase. It's not about getting our blessings. Of course, I love the Lord to bless us, but it's not always about that. We're in the harvest, not in one of gathering things for ourselves or gathering more resources to build our own personal kingdoms, but rather in the season of harvest to gather a scattered people who are divided in our churches on Sunday, who are confused about who they are and who they are, who are angry with each other, with their situations and or their circumstances, who are dying because we're not subscribing to the spirit but rather than the flesh, who are finding fault in others rather than looking in the mirror and changing and understanding how to improve themselves. And with most of, and the least of that, we were denying God in all that we do in our choices, our lives, how we raise our kids, how we operate each and every day. So we need new leaders as we came out of our last series. We need new leaders in our world. We need new leadership in our nation. We need new leadership in our states, in our cities, in our communities. We need new leadership in our homes, our churches, and our businesses. We need a new leadership at every corner of this world. In other words, we need some shepherds, not a shepherd, but we need some shepherds who are courageous. We need you as a shepherd to do what the Lord calls us to do, to love and surrender. Get on cue with God's will on this. Get on purpose, lead in that purpose. Be a fisherman, a fisher of men, essentially doing what Jesus told his disciples to do. Go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In other words, be the seed or the sower of the soul. Be the shepherd to gather scattered people. Go ye and build some gatekeepers. We're excited about today's show because our guest is exactly what we have been praying and talking about and on this show for over the last year. Everyday leaders who are making the difference, who can testify to God's goodness. A transformational leader who is on cue with God's will. A transformational leader who is on cue with his calling on her life, her purpose. A transformation leader who is getting others on cue with that purpose. Yes, she won't claim it because she's given it all to God, but we pray every show the Lord to raise some transformation leaders and some gatekeepers in his name. And I know he's doing it today, and we have one of those, and there are many out there. We have one of those who simply checked those boxes and is unashamed of the piercing truth that's in the gospel. The Lord is working through her in so many ways. She is not only a shepherd, but she is an angel. Literally and figuratively, Pastor Angel Nicholas lives up to that name. She's a true guardian angel, helping kids in New Orleans bus area bus stops on their way to school. She is at the corner fishing. She's at the corner making an impact. Pastor Angel's nonprofit group and community group called Royal Kings and Royal Queens lead students in prayer before they board the bus and reward them for good grades and good behavior. On Cue Radio was made for someone like Pastor Angel because she is making a difference in this season, standing at the gates for you, for our children, and asking the question of the day daily, which is the question of the day for our show. Are you adhering to Christ's command of go ye? If you have not seen her videos on Facebook, they're must see. And as we go into the break, we'll play one of those audios, which is the first video that I saw. And so after the break, we'll start our dialogue with our special guest, the bus stop angel, Pastor Angel Nicholas, and we'll answer the question of the day, go ye. During the break, stay with us. can't afford to miss it. We'd love to hear from you. Call us at 310-861-2331 to ask a question, to make a comment. Please press 1 on your telephone, which raises your hand virtually. And my daughter Kennedy can chat with you or bring you in to the discussion. Friends, we'd love to hear from you. Again, 310-861-2331. This is On Cue. I'm your host, EJ Powell. We'll be right back.
Welcome. That was Pastor Angel Nicholas. Pastor Angel, are you with us?
Yes, I am. How you doing? God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you for joining us. We're doing great tonight. We're awesome. We're excited to have you tonight. You know, that was the video that my cousin from Mobile, who's a regular listener, Duke, he sent to me about a month or so ago, and I've been following you ever since. And so it just pulled me in. You're at not just at the bus stop, but you're in the trenches, where we all need to be.
Yeah.
It's so many points. We could probably do a show just on that audio. I think.
Yeah,
I think. You know, we're going to get to some of these great talks and the work that you're doing. But as we always do, we try to start our show just to let our audience kind of know who you are and understand a little bit about you with our first two questions. The second one's probably a little trivial for you, but they'll give you the opportunity to introduce what you're doing. But the first question is always, you know, what is that one word that describes you, Pastor Angel?
Fisherman.
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 Say more about that. Why fisherman?
Well, I found out after all I had been through, I remember the scripture that said, all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and who
Amen.
Are called according to his purpose.
Amen.
And I know I was a fisherman when I was out in the world. I fished behind drugs. I was just the type of person that always, whatever it was I wanted, whatever my spirit longed for, I went after it. I was just a go-getter. Even when I was in the world, I fished. But when I came to the kingdom of God, when I came into the knowledge of who I was in Christ Jesus, and I read the word where the Bible teaches me that I will make you fishermen, I will make you fishers of men. And ever
Amen.
Since I read that scripture, I've been a fisher of men.
Amen. A fisher of men. You do it each and every day. And I'm just inspired, and others are as well. And I think everyone's pretty excited about having you here. And we're going to talk about a little bit more your history about using what the Lord have for you, your gifts, in order to pursue what he has for you as well. That second question, though, is if money was no issue, what would you do every day? I think that's trivial. So I guess I'll turn it around and just say, tell us about you and your ministry. And tell us a little history about starting, coming from fishing and chasing things, and now fishing people.
Well, in the beginning, at the bus stop, I'll never forget it, I was this little girl at the bus stop, and I saw a lot of kids at the bus stop. Their dad would come to the bus stop. The dad would come with them on field trips, take them places, and I was always surrounded around a lot of kids that had a dad and a mom. Well, I wasn't fortunate. I had a mom that took care of seven kids alone, and we couldn't get the attention that we saw other kids got. And it just did something to me. It just destroyed me as a girl, me not ever knowing who my dad was. Up until this day, I'm 50 years old, and I still don't know who my dad is. And it just destroyed me, because every time the kids would catch the bus and, you know, the dad would come out and greet them and bring them a blow pop or a fruit or something. Then when the school gave field trips, they all went on field trips, and the dad came with some of the kids. And I always was by myself. And one thing led to another, you know, the enemy had his way of starting off with me earlier, because he used that opportunity as a way to get in to destroy me. So therefore, he sent a drug dealer in my life, and he began to sow different types of things in my life, stuff, buying me clothes, buying me tennis shoes, and just encouraging me, telling me that he liked me. And one thing led to another. When you look up, I began to smoke marijuana. He was come to find out he was a drug dealer. And I went right along with the plan of the enemy. And this guy had me going to school with ounces of marijuana at the age of 13 and 14 years old. I was getting everybody loaded at the bus stop. Before we get to school, I was the supplier. And I used to get everybody loaded. Then it got so bad to where we fired it up on the bus, to where the bus driver pulled over, and he put us off the bus because it was so lit up and it just was so fogged out. We didn't even have sense enough to know that, you know, the enemy took control. He put us off the bus, and I failed that year. I struggled trying to figure out, you know, I was from the man to school to getting suspended, lying to my mother, trying to avoid her finding out any of this stuff, and it just was a mess. It turned into a mess. Well, from that led to drinking. I began to drink and smoke weed, school, and it just became a pattern of pain and suffering and hurt, being rejected at the school bus every day. So I felt like I was falling in love with a man that was 10 years older than I was, but he was a big supplier. He gave me everything. He gave me everything. At the age of 16 years old, he gave me my first gold teeth in my mouth. He bought me a brand new Firebird, and he took the birds off the car and put angels on the car. And boy, from that on, it just became a lifestyle of me into drugs. Right there at the bus stop is where he met me. At the bus stop is where he dropped me off the weed, and boy, made me feel like I was the bomb. And all the girls and all the kids that was out there, it was like, wow, you got this, you got something. So I was like the queen of the bus stop. Promoting dope and drugs. And boy, one thing led to another, and when you look up, I was out there. I had gone on with him, and when you look up, I was pregnant at 17 years old. So the drug and the rejection from me not having a father, that promoted me to get to, you know, to veer off that. My mother was giving me all she could, and that she was clothing me and she was feeding me, and that she was making sure that I looked just like the other kids, although I didn't have a father. And I was too young to focus on all my mother had gave me. And I was more like looking at the picture that these other kids had a father there at the bus stop, and I didn't. And so just that little fruit that he bought me that day, and that bag of candy with those chips and all of that stuff he used to bring to the bus stop, that was the key right there for me to just veer right off. And when you look up, he started bringing me to school. I was going to school with a man 10 years older than me, and dropping me off and picking me up every day. I go shopping with brand new clothes and getting brand new tennis shoes and all of this stuff here, and then that was the trap.
That was the trap. So starting with attention, that attention, he gave you a purpose. All that purpose created all sorts of pain. You start masking the pain, puts you in a whole set of cycles of things to break out from.
Yeah.
And it just went on and on.
It just went on and on.
It went on and on. So, and once, how did, there's a lot of listeners, a lot of us can resonate with looking for attention and feeling complete, and how just a little piece of something from the flesh perspective can fulfill you for a period of time, but it's not sustainable. So what broke you out of the cycle? What was that moment that broke you out of that cycle?
Well, the moment that broke me out of the cycle was I had lost everything. I was down to nothing. I got trapped on crack cocaine. How I got trapped on crack cocaine, I didn't know. The weed was fine. I was able to smoke the weed and laugh and thought that was all good. Then it led to drinking, and then after the drinking, then it led to, and this is just the cycle. It just brought me from one level of drugs to the next, and the highest level that I was able to get on was the crack cocaine. When I got on crack cocaine, that was it. It took me, like they used to say in Jackie Gleason show, to the moon, Alice. It was to the moon, Alice.
Right.
I went, and I mean, it took me there to, I mean, then the man wind up liking some of my friends after he had destroyed my life, after he had then put me on drugs and had me selling drugs, and once I got hooked, then he left me, and then he went to my best friend. And he began to have a relationship with my best friend, and I was trapped. And that hunger and that thirst, that longing for the attention and all of that stuff, everything hit me all at one time. Even the urge for the drug, for more drugs. I was sick. I was sick. I was so sick. I was sick, and I went back out there. I went out looking for that. I went out looking for all of that. Everything that he had gave me, I went looking for it through strangers, walking up and down dangerous highways and byways, stopping cars and flagging down strange people, strange men, going just anywhere I can walk. I just walked until I tried to, I just was looking all over until I just couldn't find it. I couldn't find it. I sold everything I had. I had everything. I sold everything I had. And when I looked in my refrigerator and saw it was nothing there, all of the pictures on the wall were sold. Everything that I owned was sold. I looked in the refrigerator to get me something to eat, and ain't nothing was there but a... It was nothing there. But a half gallon of water.
Half gallon of water.
It was
and
a
then,
gallon.
Then you got a little living water.
Yes, I fell down on my knees that day. And I felt like I was just going to die. And I fell on my knees and I cried out to God. I said, Lord, if you just give me one more chance. If you just give me one more chance, I promise you, I'll serve you until I die. And he did. He put me to sleep. And in that dream, in the sleep, I took with a dream. And in the dream, I saw a cloud come over the dresser in the room, and I can vaguely see the face of a face in the cloud. And he was talking to me. He said, "Listen, I'm going to give you another chance." He said, "I'm going to give you what you need. I'm going to give you your home. I'm going to give you a husband. I'm going to give you what you need. I need you to get up, and I need you to quote the 23rd Psalm. I need you to clean this house up." And, I mean, I just thought a person was in the house. I jumped up, and, I mean, he was in the house. He was in the house. And he said, "You get up." He said, "You have power over this situation." And he just went to give me instructions about the people coming to the house. Nobody else comes to this house. You accept no more company. And he just gave me everything I needed, and I took it. I took it, and I grabbed a hold to it. And I got up, and I began to mop the house out. I had some ammonia. I never forget. I had some ammonia and a little wash detergent in the cup. And I put that in some water, and I just began to start at the front door. And I just say, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restored my soul." And I just begin to just wash the floors in this housing development project where I had turned into a complete crack house. And that day, I was delivered from crack cocaine. This was 28 years ago.
28 years ago, and he delivered you, gave you some living water. Made a covenant with you, right? That's what happens in covenants. He gave you instructions,
exactly.
Things to abide by, and a promise, because you promised him.
Yes.
And you've been doing that for 28 years of what? And that's essentially, I know it's painful for you to relive it, but I know it's part of your testimony. But that's what we have to start from, and those who are listening, as many people got this testimony. Got a testimony. That's where you start from.
Yes.
In order to living. And so once you finish cleaning the house, cleaning up your life, it's a way of cleaning yourself up. And what next? What was that next step the next day? What was that like?
Wow. The next step the next day was amazing. People was still knocking on the door, like, you know, and it was shocking because I remember the scripture now that says, "Behold, all things, old things have passed away. Behold, now all things are new." That is true. That scripture is the truth. Every word of God is true because everything was new that day, the very next day, and I thank you so much for asking that question. Everything was new the very next day. I looked at these people knocking at my door. They looked like zombies. They look like monsters. They look like demons, real demons knocking at my door. I'm like, "No, go away," like as if I had never known them. And I was sleeping with them.
Lord, open your eyes.
Yeah.
He took the scabs away, didn't he?
Took the scales off of my eyes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But the devil knew it. He continued to send people back, right? He sent them back to you.
Yes, he sent them back, and they kept trying me, and they kept trying me because they thought that it was just a phase I was going through, and it came back with a whole ounce of crack cocaine. I mean, just big old chunks of it ready to come. Listen, look what I got, girl. Open the door. And I was like, nope, you can't come in. I don't care. You cannot come in here.
I hate to take a step back. I just got a question on our live chat room, and they wanted you to ask you this. Was the need for attention that you sought like a drug to you?
Yes. Was it like a drug, the need for attention?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was. Oh, yes, it was. Yes, it was. I couldn't sleep at night. I cried all night long. It just was like that's what drew me. I mean, it was so unbearable. I could not shake it.
Could not shake it. You know, so that leads you to 28 years of preparing you for a season such as this. How did you get started, and why the name Royal Kings and Royal Queens? Tell us about that.
Wow. Well, again, I say when I was coming up, my mom always taught us how to be the best of who we are and who we are. We were always the best cleaners. We did landscaping. My mom taught me landscaping. We get up 6 o'clock in the morning and do landscaping in the yard. We had to pick every weed out. We had to get inside and wipe the walls down like once a week. I'm talking starting the ceiling down, baseboards down. So that was always a part of me. It grew up being a part of me, being very, very neat and very, very clean. And so when I got into the gospel of Jesus Christ, I heard somebody say, as filthy as I was when I was in the world, I heard somebody say in the gospel that the next thing to godliness was cleanliness. And then I just began to step back and just do inventory of myself. And it brought this royal feeling about who I was as a woman of God. I read Proverbs 31, and it said, who can find a virtuous woman? And I just started comparing myself to the scripture. And one day I'm laying in the bed, and all of a sudden I heard Creflo Dollar say, I think it was Creflo said, we are royal. No, he said, we are chosen generation. And I heard him say that, and that stuck with me. And then I began to study the word, and then one day the Holy Spirit gave it back to me. Listen, I want you. You need to bring forth. He said, I'm going to make you a mother of many nations. He's been doing some talking to me. He said, I'm going to make you a mother of many nations. He said, you're going to be the one that I'm going to use to bring royalty to the body of Christ. He said,
Amen.
Go to 1 Peter 2:9. He said, and that's the scripture that I want you to build the ministry on.
Yes, and that picture is, but you are a chosen people, royal
yes.
priest, holy
yes.
nation, God's
yes.
special possession. She may declare
yes.
the praises of him who called you out of the darkness to this wonderful light.
Yes.
That's essentially what he's done. So after we're going to take a quick break. And we're going to continue the dialogue around the royal kings and royal queens. And we have the bus stop angel, Pastor Angel Nicholas, with us today. And stay with us. You can't afford to miss the rest of this powerful testimony about Lord delivering us. No matter how low, how things get tough for us, he either will deliver us. And so our number is 310-861-2331. We'd love to hear from your friends. This is On Cue. I'm your host, EJ Powell. We'll be right back.
How do you lead a people who are starved, who are broken, who are isolated?
leave them where they are by getting them on cue for God's will, by getting them on cue with His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
Powerful is your leadership. Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on the cue.
I learned more about heart of leadership than the arch of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is makes the leader in you come alive.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
It should be a mandatory part of every church pre-membership class, every school leadership program. I think this curriculum effectively used not only positions a person for better leadership, but positions a person for better life.
We're back. Thanks for staying with us and listening on cue. I'm your host, EJ Powell. Remember, our mission here is simple, friends, to help you leave where you are by getting you on cue with God's will and His purpose. Today's question of the day, as we talk about the bus stop angel, are we adhering to the Lord's call for us to go ye? And helping us with that is you, so please continue to call us at 310-861-2331. And also helping us with that is our special guest, Pastor Angel Nicholas, who lives up to that name. She's a true guardian angel, helping kids in New Orleans area bus stops on their way to school. A nonprofit organization, Royal Kings and Royal Queens, leads students in prayer before they board the bus and rewards them for good grades and good behavior. Pastor Angel, thanks for staying with us during the break. This is powerful testimony, powerful story that we all need to hear and put it inside of our hearts.
Wow.
Before the break, we were talking about the notion around royal kings and royal queens and how you started your foundation, which is based in 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But while during the break, though, I hate to go back, but I want to make sure you've got questions and things coming in, so I want to pick one. to ask you, and we may not get to all the material today, but we're just going to make sure, as I said, we're going to let the Lord lead us today. And the question comes from a pastor friend of mine. He said, would you say that the temptation was hard on you when people knocked on the door to offer you more, and how much willpower did it take for you to resist?
Well, once God opened up my eyes and I saw Him, once I saw that cloud over that mirror, and I knew it was nobody in the house but me. I knew it was the Lord speaking to me. It changed me. It changed my life. That day, that moment, that second changed me. It gave me all power that I needed. It gave me everything that I needed. It just gave me everything. So my mind was changed. It was made up. It was no more temptation. Everything just went away.
Wow.
It was nothing. It was no. I was like, no, like I had never saw those people before. I was treating those people like I had never saw them before. And then I turn on them. I just turn, get away from my door.
Get away from
like
your door.
I never saw him before. And it shocked me because, you know, I was like, oh, they was just here last night, you know. And I,
right. He took that same vigor and tenacity and turned it for his good, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Amen. You know, and we can go through person after person along the way, and the first person that comes to mind is Paul. His same tenacity of killing Christians. Lord, turn around and make him write most of his book. My God,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's essentially what he's doing for you. When we talked about before the break, the royal kings and royal queens and your whole organization, you don't have a mega church. You don't have a huge endowment of money, but you're still making it work. How?
Well, I heard the voice of the Lord say, use what you have in your hand. Use what you have in your hand. I remember when I was out on drugs, I learned a lot of manipulation skills. I learned a lot of things. I saw a lot of people do a lot of things. And in Christ, he will take those same skills and turn them around, not to manipulate, but yet to turn it around to where you won't have to feel so handicapped. You know, we feel so, I look at people today and it's like, it's the end of the world in their lives. It's like they don't know what to do. They don't know which way to go. You know, here God then gave us skills. He had put everything inside of us. He said his works was finished at the cross. So he gave up. He gave. If I can go out and manipulate and sell drugs and sell my body and do all I was doing when I was in the world, here I am in Christ. Mm-hmm. I'm in Christ who has all power in his hand and who can do anything but fail. And I'm just going to sit around and just look around. So he told me this. You know, I was already a go-getter. So he told me, he said, Angel, listen, use what you got in your hand. And I puzzled because I didn't understand this stuff. It took me some time to try to get this now. It sounds easy for me to say it now, but it took me a little while to try to figure out, okay, God, what are you saying? What are you saying? Use what I have in my hand. And he said, you're a landscaper. Get the shovel, go out there on the lot, and just start digging your flower bed, and I'm going to lead you from there. I went out. I took some land. He told me to go and take the land, find out who the owners were, tell them that he told me to tell them to, for me to take the land. I went and told the lady and I told the two people that owns the land that God told me to take the land. And I took a shovel, like he said, and I began to do landscaping out there. Then he whispered in my ear one day, he said, listen, now go get you some wood, get you some crosses. And then he went on and he said, listen, you're going to do, and then I want you to do a platform. You have some bricks in your backyard. You take them bricks from in the backyard because ain't nobody using them anyway. He said, listen, you go get those bricks out of the backyard and you're going to bring it out here in the wide opening where all of the drug addicts, where all of this killing going on, and you're going to build me an altar right here in downtown Marrero.
So paint
this. Believe it or not, I'm blown away because right now we started with one and now we have nine.
I have nine. Wow. So take us to paint the picture for the audience about your first lot. Bare altar with crosses, right?
Yes. Yes. It has the three crosses. It has beautiful landscaping around it. And it has the bricks, that the pavers that I had in the backyard that I had my patio set up with. I took it and I set it. He gave me the idea of how to do it. I never did nothing like that before. And if you see it, it'll blow your mind. It was him. And so now everybody comes there for prayer, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning. You can pass there. You'll see people kneel down at those crosses, crying out to the Lord. This morning we were there at 10 o'clock, out there praising the Lord, passing out scriptures to everyone that passes by in cars. We got people coming every day, all day, bringing clothes and shoes because we have clothes and shoes giveaway to the hurting people, those that are trapped to drugs and crack cocaine. We're out there right now fishing for souls and helping people with fresh shoes and socks on their feet and helping them to, and I'm a hairdresser, you know, I was a hairdresser 15 years. I bring them to my house and wash their hair, clean them up and bathe them, let them take a shower, you know, and just clean them up and just help people. It's just like an open door of hope right out there on the corner. So now we have nine of them. And now we it's starting to just spread. It's just like, and we have no money. No money was given. No church never gave us anything. We have a 501c3. We don't even know how to use it. We never used it. We never used no money from nowhere. And this ministry is in full, I'm talking about full-fledged running right now. We got people joining left and right, coming and connecting, and we use our little money to do what we need to do to make things happen for this ministry. And just like God said, use what you have in your hand. It's working.
Amen. So, open door of hope. Oh, that is so powerful. Open door of hope. So you have 9 places just like this, and the Lord provided you provisions without having to go ask.
Yes.
Wow. Now that's a lesson in itself. You can go through the process of getting nonprofit and raising money. Doesn't always take that, does it?
That's right. I went through all of that, and he said, listen, he said, I don't want you to make nobody, I don't want you, they threw me out of the church. Like he said in the scripture, they're going to throw you out of the synagogue. That's exactly what they did. They threw me out because, you know, the plan that he had given me and what they were doing in there, it didn't line up. So, you know, he just told me to go out there. He kept telling me to go out there. And here I'm pregnant with 9 babies in me. And, I mean, these babies were inside of me. I couldn't stop hollering. I couldn't stop praising him. I couldn't stop. I mean, the people's in the church saying, will you please shut up? Get out of my ear. Leave me alone. Get from around me. The people in the church wouldn't even, they didn't want to sit around me because I was just praising God all the time, praising him all the time and just praising him. But ever since I've been out here, and I delivered my first baby, because that was the first baby on the corner of Coin Street and Acres Road in Marrero. When I delivered that baby, I felt myself. I began to calm down. I was in a rage, and I began to calm down. And then people just begin to come and donate lots to the ministry. They say, you got it looking so beautiful. It's something for sore eyes to see. And so they begin to give me their lots, and they said, we're not doing anything with it. You take it. So now we have 9. We have 4 up and running, and we're just waiting on God to send the resources or whatever, however, and we're just going to keep on putting those crosses in the ground and setting those platforms out there, and we're going to get out there, and we get preachers to come, different speakers to come from all over the world to preach the gospel. So we have preaching all through the week, and we're doing all types of skits and plays, and it's a wide the same spot where we are. He brought me right back where I was raped, right where I was trapped on drugs, right where all of the activity that went on in my life, he brought me back to that dose. 5 of these places is where I shuffled drugs and alcohol and ran prostitution rings and all of this stuff. 5 of these places is where I hung out.
Wow, he brought you right back to heal it.
Yeah.
Use your pain to heal it.
Yeah.
You hit on something earlier about how well you receive in churches and even now that certain churches and institutions may see you as a threat in a sense. But I guess I want to turn it a little bit for at the bus stop. How receptive were the kids, parents, and the neighborhoods when you first started doing this as you're doing it right now?
My phone just took off ringing like, and it still is. Right now, my Facebook page is overflowing. My phone just ringing and ringing and ringing. People's like, oh, my God. I got phone numbers all in my truck, all in my purse. Parent, grandparent calling me, telling me to come pray for their kids, come sit down and talk to their kids. It's like massive. It is massive. I got a call from Memphis, Tennessee. I got a call from Detroit, Michigan. The parent is calling for asking me, I wish you was here. I just wish you can come here. You know, we are out here, and we're helping these kids get themselves back together, to get their focus back, to focus back on their homework and what's their purpose for being out there catching the bus. Sometimes you can be out there catching the bus, and you miss the enemy. The strongholds of the world is so powerful when you don't know the word of God and when you don't have nobody out there to help you, to where it'll make you forget all about the purpose of even catching the bus. It did it to me.
Mm.
So these parents is going crazy because now they see hope. They see, wow, it's a possibility. I had one today did a community service today with me at the lot. They're bringing the kids to the lot on Sundays, and I get to minister the gospel to them and teach them the gospel of Jesus Christ, teach them the two kingdoms that's set up out there so they'll be able to choose.
So to be able to choose, how powerful. Pastor Angel, we got a quick question from, I don't know where on our live chat room, and it's kind of what I asked, but more specifically, they want to know, how do kids at the bus stop receive you?
Wow. They just break and run to me like, Mama! Like, I mean, I hug them and I kiss them and I bring them fruit and I do all kinds of, most of all, I chastise them. I spank them. Sometimes I have to spank them on a hand and just say, listen, you know you wasn't supposed to do that. I don't brutalize them now. I don't try to hurt them, but I try to just put a little, let them know that, you know, come on, I'm going to give you, I'm going to reward you for this A you have, but here you're getting suspended because you bring in a weapon to school. So you have to, you know, you have to, so those kids, it's like, and this is years. This is not something that just happened yesterday. I've been working with these kids in these hooded areas for years to where now all of them, we all on the same page. I never had a problem before. They all just run to me as, they call me their mom.
Yes. You know, if I could turn it around just for a second and help with that question, is the common ground because you were in the hood and you've given them that attention that you that you yearn for.
Yes, yes, exactly.
You chastise them, but the truth.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah, yeah, exactly. I don't know why how I missed that, but that thing that was hurting me so bad, that thing that was downing me because I never knew my dad, he never was there for me, and now I see those kids that are out there standing at the bus stop, don't have a parent, don't have nobody out there with them, and I just go and I just try to hug them and I try to give them whatever they need and I try to let them know that I love them and God loves them and just walk with them and talk with them every day and let them know somebody loves them. That hug means a lot.
That hug means a lot. And once you hug them and they know you care about them, they know you got their back, and you know that you don't have bad intentions for them, you can pierce them with the truth.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Yeah. They had a few of them in the community that would skip school and not no more. Uh-uh. We catch them. We go run behind them in the car and catch them and put them in the car and go bring them back to school to where we worked on that thing till we broke that curse. We had about 15 of them cutting classes and all. They don't do it anymore. We broke the curse on that. Everybody at the bus stop catching the bus, now focusing on homework, and we're waiting on them when they get out of school to let them know, come to the lot. If you need somebody to help you with your homework, the teacher give you something that you don't understand, you bring it to the bus, to the corner right here at the lot, and we're going to go over it with you. Anthony, which is my son, my spiritual son, that and daughters that I'm growing up, that the Holy Spirit is using me to grow up in the ministry, they are so equipped and educated to where they'll get there and help them kids with their homework.
Wow. Wow, you're breaking cycles before they take root.
Yeah.
Essentially, what you're needing before when you fell in your cycles. It's the Lord just using you in so many different ways. This is so powerful. You know, when tell us about Go Ye.
Wow. Oh, Go Ye, Go Ye. I sat in the church for a long time. Once you're delivered from the pain and the suffering and being sick with syphilis and out here on drugs and out here, you know, that is hell. That I have already experienced hell, a portion of it anyway. And once God deliver you from that, you don't want to go sit in a congregation of people that are still in bondage, no peace, no love, no joy, no understanding, no, you don't even see the hand of God. So therefore, I couldn't work around that. I would kiss them and hug them, but the fruit of their labor just wasn't where I was supposed to be. I can feel it. I can know that it just wasn't, you know, we wasn't on the mission that God had for the church. So So I had to, the Holy Spirit had me to leave. He said, listen, you're supposed to go, ye angel. Matthew 28:18, he said, guess what? They did it that way. That's man's wisdom. That's the Sanhedrin council. He said, they're in the church building. He said, and they're doing all of the tradition and religion, not all churches now, but I'm talking about the one that I was a part of. They get in there and they're laughing, they're talking, they praise the Lord, no love nowhere, they're fighting against this one all getting, no fruit of God's Spirit nowhere in the building. And here, he said the mission was to go ye. Jesus said, I have already preached my gospel. The gospel has already been preached. He said, listen, that's why I told him in Revelation 22, he said, I told him not to add to it, don't take away from it, because this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible is the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, I'm going to raise up some preachers, some pastors, some. He's going to raise up all of that. He said, but the mission of the church, we focus more on the program versus the mission. And see, a crackhead can't just sit there, a recovered crack addict, a recovered prostitute, they can't just sit there and watch those games that they play. See, we played those games when we were in the world. So when we come to the church and we see you mad with this one and this one talking about that one, and you're picking over this one, you're taking your children and putting them over the other people, and you can see all of that because you was already neglected in the world. So when we come to Jesus, when we come to the church, we come into the church looking for the love, looking for the hug, looking for peace and joy and all that stuff that they say Jesus was about. So when we got there, it wasn't that. Well, God said, listen, angel, guess what? I told them to go ye. Go ye therefore, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. He said, and then, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. So he said, listen, I want you to go get, he told me what to go get, the red shirt for the blood of Jesus, black pants for the power of the blood. And he said, put go ye on the front and put Matthew 28:18-20 on the back, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And he said, lo, I'm going to be with you always. He said, even until the end of the world. He said, now that's what I want you to do.
That's what I want you to do.
We've been doing it now for almost four years.
Go ye. But, you know, that message is not just for you. Why is it the season for all of us to be hearing, to go ye? Why is this the season?
I believe it's the season because people are just really burned out from playing church, you know, and there's so many hurting people out there. I left a house full of crackheads out there. I can't sit in the church knowing they are still out there fighting for their lives the way I was. There's still prostitutes walking along the dangerous highways and byways. There's still little kids at bus stops that don't know that there's a father, that Jesus said he'll be a father to the fatherless. There's people out there that's going to institutions right now when all they need is a hug from somebody who'd have met Jesus Christ. This is the reason why we must go ye. We can stop a lot of killing. The man that's out there with the gun about to kill somebody else, his daddy didn't come home. He don't know his father. He don't know he don't have a mother. Or she's trapped on crack cocaine or drugs. A person just don't want to pick up a gun and kill a person. He's hurting. He's been rejected. Those voices of the world is in his head and is telling him to go shoot somebody and go kill somebody.
Mm.
It's massive. It's massive.
We're scattered. We're still scattered.
Yes.
Hurt, pain, depression. It's so important to go ye so we can take our kids back.
Exactly.
That's what you're doing at the bus stop. Taking our kids back. So, so, so powerful.
Praise God.
You know, Pastor Angel, the Hebrews tells us that the word God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword,
yes,
piercing the vision of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, discerning thoughts and intentions of the heart. How important is that we need these new leaders, these new pastors, these new ministers, in order to stand on that word and start piercing the hearts,
yes,
piercing the souls of people. How important is that right now?
It is very, very, very serious and very, very important, because our purpose is to draw people, to draw them to Christ, to draw them, to encourage them, to by any means necessary. By any means necessary, it's important for us to get people to know that Jesus Christ lives, because he lives in us. And by the mission of the church going out to get the lost, don't you know it'll be a stampede of people that once they get the word out that these people are truly helping people. These people are really taking time, not with money, your time. That's why God said long suffer with each other. God is not worried about the building. We spend $3, $4, and $25 million on a building, and we won't even go out and get a truck with two lawnmowers in it and give it to a dope dealer and say, listen, put that down here. Take this truck. Come on, let me show you. Come on, you can get up off this corner. You don't have to sit here and drink yourself to death. Come on here. I got a lawnmower and a weed eater. I'm going to pay you $25 a day. Come on. Come on, we got the power. We got what we need to sow into these individuals and get them off the street, get their mind. They're hungry for it. They just need leadership. They don't have nobody. They don't have nobody. I didn't have nobody. No pastor came out there looking for me. No missionary. No first lady. None of these people that sits on the bench. What are they doing? We sitting on the bench and we have no purpose. What is the purpose of sitting there all in white, waiting on the people to come in? They're not going to come in. As long as I stayed on crack way past the amount of time I thought I was supposed to stay, because I believe if the church was really going ye, if you would go ye, ain't no way in the world I'd have stayed out there that long.
Amen.
But nobody's knocking.
Nobody's knocking.
That's what Ezekiel 34 talks about. Nobody is knocking. Nobody is going out there. The shepherd is not going out there behind the sheep. We need the shepherd to go and see about the lost. Go ye.
Go ye. You know, you just hit on it, our last series about Ezekiel 34. And I don't claim to know what the Lord's saying or doing or wants to do, but you got to think that he's unhappy of a scattered people. You got to think he's unhappy. And it's time to raise, to your point, some new leadership. New leadership.
Yeah.
You know, I want to interject before we go into a break. I read a study recently in the Pew study. Pew Institute did a study that 62.4% of people that don't go to church regularly. Okay?
Wow.
I chalk that up in a few ways, but the main two is bad leadership and they don't have purpose.
Yep.
If we just go ye,
that's right.
The leadership will be there, and we'll find folks like you, me, and others who want to be on purpose, who are trying to be that. And to your point, your season is just right, but it could have been cut short if someone had been going ye.
Yeah, that's right. That's
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
So we're going to take a quick break. So after the break, we'll continue our dialogue with our special guest, Pastor Angel Nicholas. And we answer the question of the day, are you going ye? So during the break, stay with us. Feel free to call us at 310-861-2331. If you got any questions, share any love and comments for Pastor Angels, we'd love to hear from you. Press 1 your telephone and Kennedy can bring you in. Friends, we'd love to hear from you. Again, the number is 310-861-2331. This is On Cue. I'm your host, EJ Powell. We'll be right back.
Lead them where they are by getting them on cue with God's will, by getting them on cue with his calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on the queue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the arch of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is makes the leader in you come alive.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
It should be a mandatory part of every church pre-membership class, every school leadership program. I think this curriculum effectively used not only positions a person for better leadership, but positions a person for better life.
Back. Thanks for staying with us. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, EJ Powell. Remember, our mission here is simple, friends, to help you lead what you are by getting you on cue with God's will and His purpose. Today's question of the day, bus stop angel, are you going ye? Helping us with that is Pastor Angel Nicholas, who lives up to that name and is guardian angel over kids in New Orleans at the bus stop. And she leads kids in prayer as they board the bus and wards those. She's making an impact. She's breaking cycles. Ladies, if you just joined us, she's on fire here and as well as in her community. And Lord, using that go-getter to pierce the hearts of people and making an impact. Pastor Angel, thanks for staying with us once again. Before the break, We've talked about so much. We could go on for the next few hours, but I just want to make sure people understand who you are, understand what you're doing, and understand that they can do it as well. You know, part of this, I've done a little research, of course, and I saw some pictures on your Facebook where you were fishing, and it resonates with the fact that the one word to describe you is a fisherman. You know, I love to fish as well. It's kind of get away to relax, and it also takes me back to the countless of times I sat on a bank with my dad and brothers as well, you know. And I know you love to fish, and you've told us why. You know, I want to test something with you, too, is where in there's no doubt you're operating your purpose. You're what Uncue is all about. And part of when I help individuals understand their purpose, there's a process to go through, but also confirm it. And confirm it by asking, what are your three gifts, right? The three gifts, not the intangible things that we'd be able to speak and move people and coordinate things, but those tangible elements as like the Lord gave Christ when he was born, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so I venture a guess your first gift is a fishing pole.
Yeah.
What are the other two?
Well, I think the other two is long-suffering with others. Suffering is one of them. And now giving.
Giving.
Yeah, long-suffering and giving.
Long-suffering and giving. That's what drives you.
Yeah.
Confirms what you're doing, that you
that you're fishing people, you understand their long suffering, and you've given them a door of hope.
Yes.
How
yes.
powerful is that? And so, you know, as we go through this, you know, I had a question about what drives you, but you've seen a lot. You've seen so much, not only before the ministry and doing you going through those times. You know, what has surprised you in all of God's work through you? What surprised you the most?
Wow. That I'm that I'm still living through it all. You know, people, you know, when I look back and see what all he's done through me, and I'm like, wow, God, when are you going to give me a break, you know? It's just so much done in a little short of time, you know, and it's amazing. It's amazing what he can do with one person. Boy, I tell you, if you can really see how he's used us to take these bricks and put them on his lot, and here we go out there, and we set up his altar, and then the lady who owned the lot, she got a little upset because, you know, it turned into a church, and she didn't think it was that's what it was going to turn into. She made me move all of that stuff off of her lot.
Mm.
And we had to go put it in another spot, right, like 10 feet away from off of her property. So we had to go back and redo it all over again. And we had to do it with joy. We had to do it with peace. And we had to keep love with her because God is he's not the author of confusion. So, you know, it's just the things that he's doing, what he's created me to be and who he's created me to be. And it teaches me to teach others, listen, don't take it so serious. Guess what? All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. So guess what? Take this situation. He's carving you. He's shaping you and making you. So, I mean, it's just all of this stuff that he's doing. And how, now we have the Go Ye team, and we're going through the community. We dress up over hundreds of kids every year for MLK Day, and we put them out there with the fruits of the Spirit signs, and we dress them up in beautiful wedding gowns and put them on top of drop-top vehicles. Because they're improving in their grades, and we put the kids up top. You know, we go find a drop top vehicle with some beautiful. I'm talking about lavish. I'm talking about a beautiful car. And I say, listen, I need you to let me use this car to drive one of these kids in the community, in the parade. And last year I had 8 people volunteer to let us use their smack brand new drop top Mercedes Benz, and we drove 8 kids. And walked over 100 and something kids in the community for the MLK parade to encourage these kids to make A's.
Mm. Celebrating success.
Yeah.
Celebrating success. You know, you mentioned.
Awesome.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, he's doing a lot of awesome things, and it's all amazing to me.
He is. You mentioned earlier about the landowner. Wanting you to move off, and there's all sorts of adversity I'm sure that you've gone through, and you could
wow.
tell us a period of time. A question came on the live chat room. It says, I'm sure that you have faced adversity and opposition from parents along this journey. How do you or have you handled these situations? Because you know the political correct crowd comes. I'm adding that last piece. The political correct crowd will come.
Yeah.
So how have you handled?
Well, I give God the glory. I really, you know, everybody knew me when I was a drug addict in the community, and they knew when I was a bad person, and they watched God transform my life. And I just keep it real. I can't tell you one episode of me having a bad deal with a parent and nothing, no of a sort, not nothing. If there's anything, they're calling me to come get the kid. Come get this kid. You got to come get him. The mother calling me to come get the kid. I have never, ever yet. And I'm waiting. I'm waiting because, you know, you have to be prepared for the good and the bad. But in this area for the kids at the bus stop, I have never yet had no one to come to me and say anything, not even negative, nothing.
Wow.
And
wow.
I'm going into the 4th year of this.
Yeah, he will make that way straight for you. There's no doubt.
Yes.
He will make that way straight for you. You stay with it.
Yeah, even the schools. The principal at the school called me to come to have me on the contact person on the contact card to contact Miss Angel to come and get to check this child out or to come pick the child up or to come discipline the child at the school. The parent.
Wow. Bringing that village together. It is absolutely bringing that village back together. You know, what we talked earlier and you shared that you, not only just the people in the community are out embracing you, but you're getting calls across the country of asking you, how do they do the same thing? What do you say to those who want or should could do the same thing at any corner, any bus stop? What do you do? What do you say to them?
I say, I tell them, just what God told me. Use what you got in your hand.
Yeah.
Use what you got in your heart. You have love in your heart. You got two hands. You can hug people. Just start hugging people and mean it from your heart. Make them feel it and know that it's real. It has to be real, because if it's not coming from God, they're not going to accept you. It won't become a something that's contagious. You can make that thing something, just the hug. You can make it something that some people long for. They'll come knocking on your door, give me a hug. I need just a hug. You know, if it's real, if it's coming from God. And see, that's all people looking for. They just want you to be real. They want you to come and just, you know, if you just sit down and listen sometimes. Sometimes you don't have to be the one. I tell a ministry all the time, you don't have to be the one to make the to go to throwing out quoting scriptures to the people and give them chance to come to you and just feel it. Let them empty out to you. And you just sit down and listen to them and hug them. Grab them and hold them and hug them. It works. We've been doing it. It works. We use hugs. We use the landscaping. We use lemonade, hot dogs. We get out every weekend. We put out lemonade and hot dogs. And we give it away to everybody. We stop cars. We give them a scripture. We give them a cold glass of lemonade and a hot dog.
Mm.
We let them say no, they don't want it. And we just give. We give clothes. We get school supplies, school uniforms. Some of them be used. We take them home, wash them, clean them up, and go to the bus stop if we see a child at the bus stop that don't look as clean as the other kids. And we take them and we go bring him and clean him up and get him the stuff that he needs quietly where everybody at the bus stop don't have to know we did it.
Wow. Wow.
We go looking for the need, and whatever the need is, we meet the need. We take
look
our
for
last
the need. And meet the need.
That's right.
Wow, this is so powerful. Pastor Angel, I'm gonna throw this at you.
Mm-hmm.
What haven't I asked that I should have asked?
Wow. You really didn't touch bases on everything. You done emptied me out real good here tonight.
Let's say it this way. What's on your heart right now? For someone listening that needs to get out, go ye, what do you say to them right now?
I would tell them like God told Joshua in Joshua, be strong, be courageous. Stay focused. Get busy. You know, I watched a lot of people die, and a lot of people done left away from here without ever meeting their purpose. When some of us are sitting, walking in our purpose, we can get out and help others. Get out and help others. Be encouraged. Be courageous. Be strong. We have God. We know God. We have the power of God. You know, in Luke chapter 9, I put it out this morning, Luke chapter 9, God said that he told his disciples after he had picked the 12, he told his disciples, he said, now I'm giving you power and authority over all devils. He said, I'm giving you power over all diseases and all sickness. We have the power. We are the disciples of Jesus Christ now. We have the power. We have the authority to rule and reign in this earth. And we have to go out and take authority. Be encouraged. Be strong. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can do it. You got to do it. We got to stand for Jesus Christ. He locked his head in the locks of his shoulders at the cross, and he said that his works was finished. He did everything that he showed us. He took two fish. Now, if he took two fish and five loaves and fed 5,000, just picture what me and you could do with a bucket of lemonade and two and a pack of hot dogs and wieners.
Amen. Amen.
We receive an offering. We getting tithes and offerings.
Amen.
He's telling us to take the tithes and offering. Take a chip of that, a little bit of that, and go out and see the need. Go help somebody and make it. And if all of us will get the hot dogs and I'm just using hot dogs because that's what we use. Hot
sure.
dogs and chili and some mustard and ketchup and a glass of cold glass of lemonade will change this world with a word from the Lord.
With a word from the Lord will change this world.
That's right.
Starting with those who are listening. Best Angel, we're almost up to our time, but I just got a couple more questions I wanted to share. Ask, what can we be in prayer with you about?
Wow, that is beautiful. I need you to pray that I continue to stand strong myself because the job is really massive. It's massive. You find very few out there. And I'm a woman, I'm 50 years old, and I know God has equipped me for the task, but I'm beginning to feel, getting up every day, going out there, toting generators, sound systems, putting this stuff up, taking it down every day. I'm not complaining. I just pray. I ask you to pray my strength in the Lord. That's one thing. The second thing I pray, like I said, we are praying and trusting God for a building. We are praying and trusting God for resources and finances. We trust God. I've trusted him when I didn't have nothing. I still don't have nothing. I'm still working from the day he told me, use what I got in my hand. But now I see it's widespread. I can do more. I can do more. I can pass out more scriptures. I can make more lemonade. I can go to different bus stops, and I give out fruit. My finances is not to where I'm just falling short with that. You know, I can only do a few, say two or three bus stops a day. When if I had, you know, I use the fruit, I use the whatever I can get my hand on, even Bibles, you know, scriptures. You know, I have to go and pay $100 to get a box of scriptures from Office Depot to try to keep the ministry going when there's churches around me with fax machines and they just don't believe in helping other ministries like that. So, you know, it's just my finances. I need you to pray that God will open up a door that we will start getting some finances in the ministry. People don't sow, you know, they send $50 or $20 or something like that, and to God be the glory, I'm very grateful for whatever it is, but it's just not even scratching the surface. So we need God to move and move fast because we want to travel. We need to go to Florida. We need to go to Texas. We need to go to Memphis. We need to go to Detroit. We're ready to go out there to encourage some people in these communities to get up. And once we get them up and get them started, they don't have to do the platforms and the crosses and all of the stuff that we do, which we can use that. But we can go in these communities and help these people to start this to make this thing worldwide. I mean, it's healing the communities. The more we sow the word, Mark chapter 4 says, sow the word. Yeah, we can sit in the building and just eat the word. The word is seed. So guess what? If we go out, go ye and sow the word. Some going to fall on stony ground. Some going to fall on good ground. He said it's going to bring forth a 30, a 60, or a 100-fold blessing. So the more we continue to sow the word out in the community, that means our communities are going to be saved. I mean, we need the community saved.
Amen.
So we got a lot of massive work out here. We got massive work out here. And we just need for everyone to just stand in agreement with us that God would open up a door for resources, vehicles. We need vehicles. We'll drive. We want to drive. We want to get vans and drive to different cities and start the ministry. I done burn up my truck. I'm burning up my car. I'm down to my last leg on my car. So I done used everything that I had, and it done brought the ministry all the way up to here. So I feel like God is here. He is here. I'm just waiting on him to to you know, make the next call. So I believe if I connect with you guys and all of the listeners out there, I believe we can pull on that, we can pull on his garment, and he can open up the floodgates.
Amen to that. So we're gonna touch and agree virtually for your strength, for provision, and also yield, bear more fruit.
Yeah,
that's what we're gonna agree on today. And those are listening. Let's find a way to support royal kings and royal queens, and which leads to my last question, Pastor Angel. How do people find you? Websites, Facebook, events. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we are the Holy Spirit told me to go on Facebook. I was computer illiterate. I didn't even ever go on the computer, never use it or anything. Now I got skills now because the Holy Spirit told me to go on Facebook, get on the computer, get me an email address and all. So now I'm on Facebook every day, all day, under Angel Nicholas, just Angel Nicholas. You can find me on Facebook, putting out prayers every morning, encouraging the people on Facebook to get a life with Jesus Christ and to go ye. Also, we have a P.O. box. We have P.O. box 2204, and that's Marrero, Louisiana, at 70073. And we also have a pen pal account, which is RK and ANDRQ.org.
Okay.
Those are the three ways that they can contact me.
Those are the three ways. Pastor Angel, you know, it's been a wonderful delight for us to have you tonight, and hopefully it's been for you as well, and we pray that you come back to visit us, and we pray that won't be the last time that we see each other or connect each other, because you know, Lord didn't bring us together by accident. There's no doubt about this.
No doubt at all. Praise the Lord. It's been a blessing. It's been a true blessing, and I just want to give God the glory for all of the listeners out there and the people with all of the questions. Be encouraged. Be strong. I love you. God bless you. Continue to pray for me, and I will be in prayer for you.
Amen. That's Pastor Angel Nicholas. She is go-ye. She is the true example of being on purpose, aligning with God's will, being on one accord and getting others, and really impacting this generation. She's giving God the glory as we start our show and impacting this generation. The Lord's using her misery, her challenge, her testimony as a ministry, and we were honored to have her tonight. You know, for the last few minutes, we're going to close out, but I was earlier when I shared that Pastor Nicholas Angel was going to join us, and a few people on Facebook and were surprised and thanked me for the invitation. And even one said there was an invitation that, you know, you see God seeking us, and there needs to be more angels at the bus stop, at the street corners, the principal's office, Senate chamber, House chamber, Oval Office, ISIS camps, no matter where. You know, following Christ is more than just putting on your Sunday's best and going to church and doing praise and sitting on the bench and worship and then turning off that switch and going home. But we need to go ye. We need to build some gatekeepers. And they are it. Those individuals who are at the bus stop, who are on the corner, who are in struggle, who are in trials, that Pastor Angel is helping each and every day. The Word of God is alive and active, and riding on that school bus, riding, sitting on that corner, it adheres to no stop sign. It does not stop when kids are loading them. It's always moving. The difference in ministry that we're in business of not just saving lives, but we're in the business of saving souls. It is to touch, to quantify the success, rewards from heaven. She is doing all of these things. He's following without a lot of provisions. You know, there's a lesson in all of this. It's about purpose. You don't have to have a radio show. You don't have to have a church. You don't have to have a website, Facebook, to go ye. The lesson in starting your purpose, there are three steps that I'll usually take people through, and she alluded to some of that tonight, is number one is come to the Lord as you are, broken or intact, anger and happiness, hope or in dire straits, drugs or on drugs or clean. Come with your testimony.
come to the Lord as you are, for he is that. He will come. He, as Christ told you, he came not to condemn the world but to save it. Just come to him. The second is start where you are. Accept the call in your schools, at home, in your communities, at the bus stop. Don't reject the call. Take the baton and don't leave this earth without walking in your purpose. And the third thing is use what you have. Your gifts, your experiences, your relationships, your passions, your interests, your education, your resources in order to get on purpose. Use your passion, just as one of my homeboys did this week in using his passion around football to restore a place of where we grew up. So as you come, as we come as you are, start where you are and use what you have, you can go ye. You can get on cue with God's will, on cue, calling on your life, which is your purpose, and get others on cue with that calling. EJ Powell, this has been On Cue, and we'll see you next week. Kennedy's going to close us out.
Before we go, we'd like to thank our special guest, our bus stop angel, Pastor Angel Nicholas. We thank you for joining us in our second year. We hope that our ministry helps us get you on cue with the Lord. I have an ask for all of you. Put us on your prayer list, like us on Facebook at On Cue Radio, follow us on Twitter at Cue Leadership, and invite a friend to listen to this show and to next week's show. If you would like to be a sponsor, please email us at oncue@cueleadership.com. We give all honor and praise to the living water, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Thanks to those who tuned in. I'm sure my dad thanks his producer assistant, me, his better half, best friend, and wife, my mother, my little sister, Carson, all of our family, friends, and life, and on Facebook. We dedicate this show to all royal kings and queens at the bus stop in Greenville Firebirds. This has been On Cue Radio. Until next week.
How do you lead a people who are starved, who are broken, who are isolated?
You lead them where they are, by getting them on cue for God's will, by getting them on cue for His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on cue. Let us help you get on cue.